Greetings, this is Chris Temple, the editor and publisher of the National Investor, and I'm welcoming back today my friend James Anderson. James is the CEO of New Legacy Gold. We've heard from him before, and we're going to get an update today. James, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, one of the things is people who have heard this story, some of them more than once, already know, and others will find out, is that one of the things that's always intrigued me and attracted me to the New Legacy story is that it's very simple and cut and dried. You know, mining exploration involves risk. Not everybody makes it. Not everybody hits it big. And New Legacy is very honest and has never made any bones about the fact that it is kind of a wildcatting company and in wildcatting mode at this big Red Hill property that you have down in Nevada. The advantages that you have, however, that a lot of exploration juniors don't have, is that number one, you're well funded. We're going to talk about that in a second. And secondly, you have some of the best people in your brain trust, very key people that have made big discoveries, chiefly with Barrick Gold in that state, that you could possibly have. And so it gives you the ability and the means to be able to do a lot of exploration, drill some holes. You've had some success that we're going to talk about. But first, James, I want to discuss the news that you came out with this week where you just closed about a $2.5 million private placement, which, and this is key, folks, where management puts its money where its mouth is, out of about $2.5 million that you just raised, officers and directors, including yourself, put in a little over $900,000. And more important, I think, to tell you about the muscle behind the company, not only with Barrick, but Oceana Gold maintained its proportional interest and actually encouraged you to top up the till for drilling this year, didn't they?
That's exactly right. So let's talk about the financing for a moment. Oceana Gold, that's our largest shareholder. And for your listeners who don't know Oceana, it's a pretty big Australian gold mining company. They've got producing assets in New Zealand, in the Philippines, and in the United States now. And they're our largest shareholder, very supportive. They really like what we're doing in Nevada. And they encouraged us to raise a little bit more money before we start our fall exploration. And they put up enough money to maintain their 16.2% interest. And thanks for pointing it out as well. And these are difficult times to raise money in the precious metal exploration business. Our directors and officers put in just over $900,000. You know, those are Canadian dollars into the financing out of $2.5 million. And what we didn't put in the news release because we couldn't find an elegant way to announce it. But there's another about $150,000. That other people at the company are mostly our geological staff put in as well, Chris. They're not necessarily officers or directors of the company, but if you add that together, it was over $1 million of the financing came from people inside the company.
Well, and it's neat that not only the officers who have got some, you know, maybe a little bit better means to do it, but the rank and file workers, they want to eat their own cooking also because they see the potential. That's great stuff. Getting a little bit to some of the drilling so far, you have had some success on and off for a while now in some of the step out drilling. And as I've talked about in the context of other companies from time to time, it's a blessing, but sometimes can also be a curse to have such a large prospective land mass. It's like, where do you start? And that's why it's great to have the brain trust and the people that you have from Barrick, who can give you some great guidance and experience. Now, you came out with one drill hole so far from the spring program that was very encouraging. That was at the end of June, where you hit about 3 1/3 grams of gold over more than 15 meters. That's pretty impressive, especially when you consider that most of the gold that is mined in Nevada comes from lower grade stuff than that. And so that's noteworthy, but also it's another step out hole at your Serena target, over 100 meters away from any other hole you've drilled, and you hit a really nice hole there. And that's not even the first time that you had a big step out hole at Serena. So tell us about that particular target and the meaning to you, at least so far, of that most recent hole.
Right. So the Serena area, the Serena deposit, it was a 375 meter step out into virgin ground just about this time last year. And we spent a lot of last fall drilling some holes to establish that particular area. This first hole that you were talking about this year was about a 100-meter step out to the north of that drilling. And it was our best drill hole there so far, including all the drilling last year. So the 15 meters of 3 1/3 grams that you mentioned, that's really important. We also announced that there is a lower grade halo around that interval. So we also, at the same time, announced that it was 51 meters of 1.47 grams. And that's more like what is mined in most places in Nevada. But we also really like that core area of that drill hole, that the core portion of the hole that you quoted, which was 15 meters of 3 1/3 grams. Barrick announced some spectacular results just about a month ago from just across the valley from where we're working at this 4 mile area that they call it, which is an extension of their Gold Rush deposit. And what they're announcing is 15 or 16 meters. So exactly the same tenor of size of interval, but they're getting 30 and 40 meter highlight drill holes there, which is absolutely spectacular, world class. And that's the type of thing that we think we're really close to. So, you know, we've got the same formations, the same stratigraphic units, the same structural complexity as Barrick has with their 10 million ounce deposit right across the valley. We've got lots of gold, as you pointed out. Well, I wanted to pick up on one other thing that you said about it being, you know, a blessing and a curse. Because Derek Unger, who's our chief geologist, is an ex-Newmont guy and has worked in Nevada for 15 years, I guess. He and I joke all the time that you know, no matter where we go on our property, we get gold. And it'd be kind of handy if there were a few places on our property where we didn't get any gold and we could focus on more of the places that we do get gold. So it is a little bit of a challenge that way. But we're drilling more holes in Serena right now, and we'll be doing that in the fall as well.
And so you'll have some more holes coming out in the next few weeks, I think. And then by the middle of September, I think, James, you'll be putting the finishing touches on a game plan for the fall drilling. Is that correct?
That is correct. And you know, something else that you said a little bit earlier that I wanted to touch on, because New Legacy applies its geological expertise in a little bit different way than a lot of the other junior companies. A lot of the other junior companies are happy to be able to look at a small deposit and try to expand it and make some news. Most of those deposits do not end up being economically viable. In recognition of that, what we're trying to do is to try and find a very large deposit in an area where there are three known, very large, world-class, best-of-breed deposits. So we think that we're close to that, and the directors of the company, three of which are senior ex-Barrick people, the geological staff, which we've managed to pilfer a little bit from our friends at Barrick along the way as well. They all believe that we have a real chance at coming up with one of those giant deposits, and that's the focus on how we explore for this property. So because we're taking bigger step outs, testing geophysical and geochemical targets across the property, you know, we end up with some misses. I think the baseball analogy is best. You know, when you're swinging for a home run, you are going to miss a couple balls and have a few strikes. But it is an exciting project, and that's the way that we're driving our exploration here right now.
Or no question, and you made an important point. In fact, I just read an article from our friend Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, where he pointed out exactly what you just said a minute ago, James, that a lot of companies that think they need to build up an infill drill, a small, maybe marginal deposit, the great majority of these mines don't ever succeed. They don't ever make any money. Of everything that ever goes into production, I think his numbers were 20% of them end up profitable. And the real juice is with, even though it's riskier, a company like yours, where if you're successful and you're swinging for the fences, that as an investor is the thing you want to look at if you're willing to bear the risk for the much greater potential reward. And it's great stuff, and especially with, you know, Charles Wheatley, who was part of the discovery team, correct me if I'm wrong, for Pipeline right across the valley, and he's excited because your geology is exactly what it is there, and he knows this.
Well, that's correct. And I mean, Charles worked for the last 4 years at Barrick, right across the valley from us at Gold Rush and at that 4 mile extension. And the 4 mile extension, you know, lots of that work, lots of that discovery is Charles's work. And Charles is a fantastic geologist. There are other, you know, he's not the only fantastic geologist in the world, but he's a fantastic geologist with an enormous amount of experience in exactly where we're working. And he's had the luxury of being able to watch Barrick spend $150 million in exploration right across the valley from us. So you learn a lot from that. And his knowledge and his experience grafted onto our already hardworking young exploration team, you know, that's a very powerful formula, I think.
Well, and on top of everything else that you've got that we've already talked about, you've got another significant target and a different kind of mineralization emerging with your Vio target that was another one of the recent discoveries from your Wildcat drilling in Nevada. This one is an epithermal target. Why don't you explain quickly for us as we finish, James, the difference in geology, first of all, and what the relevance is of this being a potential epithermal target, what you found, and what the game plan is at Vio.
Right. So there's a number of different types of gold deposits in Nevada that make Nevada such a fantastic gold mining jurisdiction. Where you get most of your gold is in these Carlin-type systems, which are very large and often very rich, but very complex systems. That's the main focus of our exploration and, you know, what we're trying to find. There are, though, some very high-grade gold and silver veins and shear zones that are made by epithermal systems. Some of them that your listeners will know have been mined by Klondex over the last few years, which was just taken over by Hecla at a significant premium. And they mine at mines like Fire Creek, Midas, Hollister. There's also one that's a little bit closer to us called Mule Canyon, which we feel is a really good analog to what we've discovered so far at Vio. Last year, again, a brand new discovery. We drilled a first discovery hole, which got 9 meters of 2 grams of gold, but also 17 grams of silver. And in a Carlin system, you're not going to get very much silver usually. So it's one of the things, and the whole geochemical signature as well of these deposits is different. It's probably about 20 million years younger than the Carlin systems, just, you know, as an aside. So one of the things that we decided to do this year was to do a geophysical survey over top of that discovery, and what we found are four very, very strong chargeability anomalies. So what that geophysical survey is finding is the pyrite that is associated with that gold and silver. And that's what we can see in the geophysics, and it lights up like a Christmas tree. It looks very, very much like Mule Canyon, which Newmont mined in the 1980s and 1990s to the north of us. So we're pretty excited about that. Of course, we do have a limited budget about how we want to spend money on the property. It's an enormous property. It's 100 square kilometers. It's about 38 square miles. So there's lots and lots of room for different types of geology here.
Neat. Well, that's something that, of course, it's not as advanced as obviously Serena and Avocado and areas where you're actually able to drill, but it's something that can come along later on as well and gives you that many more options. So, neat. A good story, folks. You need to check out the company. New Legacy Gold, NUG, is the symbol on the Toronto Venture Exchange. And NU, I always get the letters conflated. NUGLF or LGF?
NULGF.
NULGF. I'm sorry, on the over-the-counter market here in the U.S. And, of course, you can go to newlegacygold.com. and check out the company's corporate presentation and all the information and background and James and the whole very considerable team there. And last but not least, my own site, nationalinvestor.com, for those of you who aren't there right now listening to this, where I have our past discussions with James, as well as a lot of other material on New Legacy. So, James, thanks again for joining me, and I look forward to our next visit and to more news as it comes out in the next several weeks.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. I'll talk to you real soon.